Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're all so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. Friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fairly well, my only lover. I never expect to see you again. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunday Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those windmill boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa
Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Turn it up.
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shazuz, the Terrible Honorable Knight. Thomas Anderson's in here today, and hopefully we'll get some other folks in there. So before we get rolling, I just want to let everybody know they've got my Skype account back. So if you want to contact me, use your name Shazuz over there on Skype, then it's safe to do so. Always remember, and I should have known better myself, never click on those links in the Skype chat room, especially if it's going to ask you to re-log in to Skype. Got to be real careful about that. Took me 3 days of torture trying to get that account back from the hacker that stole my account. And in the process, somehow or another, don't even know if it's actually related, but I messed up my Linux program on my computer. Probably just a big coincidence on that portion, because normally I don't have that problem with Linux. But either way, better safe than sorry. There's some knuckleheads out there trying to steal your Skype account, and what they will ask you for is your they'll ask you to go out and buy them some iTunes cards, or and then they'll give you back your account. Otherwise, they'll run amok.
Hey, that's what he did to you. That scam changes with each thing. It's just basically they'll ask you to do something that they can use as currency that can't be traced. He's saying he didn't need you to send those cards to him. That's why he kept saying, show me the picture. Because if he gets the codes off of them, he can steal the value out of them with the codes alone. He doesn't have to have the physical cards. The real point here is somebody you trusted sent you that link, so you can't trust anyone's message unless you're talking to them and you know they still have control of their account. That guy was probably hacked already, because somebody down the train was patient zero, and they clicked on a link from an account they didn't recognize. And then once that guy had control of that first account, he was able to start hacking their friends' accounts and just spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
So, don't click on anything unless you're talking to the person and you know it's them, man. Seriously.
Yeah, because I'll tell you one thing for sure, it is a nightmare trying to get your Skype account back if you lose it.
They don't care, Microsoft.
I was persistent, and I had a lot of good people behind the scenes that were persistent as well that, helped me out with a deal and finally got it back. But, I can't have somebody out there running amok trying to run my name into the dirt, and hacking my friends and that kind of stuff. But either way, yo, King Shazuz the Terrible has his account back, and so trying to get back in contact with all my contacts and let them know that it's me. So, hopefully I'll get that resolved, but so far, it's been one heck of a mess cleaning up house. And so, with that said, I won't harp on that too much. I still got to get added back into the Mad Science Room. Don't see that one there yet.
Yeah, I haven't found it yet. I'll add you back as soon as I can find you down there.
I appreciate it. And my buddy Muddy Mud Man went around and kicked me out of all my rooms and stuff. Anyway, that's pretty much a done deal. It was a lesson learned. Never click on nothing. The problem was I was just kind of distracted. I was in the middle of doing a radio show and seeing an old friend from the past over there in Ireland. I guess apparently he must have clicked on the link at one point, because he lost his account. And it turned out to be one heck of a mess. But on a good note on that deal, I got a copy of the entire scenario. If you noticed, I started posting it immediately in the chat room and started up a new Skype account for a backup account and started posting it to all my friends. And my friends started telling everybody that, hey, it's not me on the other end, so don't click on nothing. And so we did some serious damage control. And I got a copy of the entire website where it came from with all the JavaScript, so hopefully we can backtrack some IP addresses. And I even got the email address that is no longer good, because they closed that down real quick whenever I told them about the whole FBI being reported to.
Yeah, you can't erase those documents unless you're in control of the email server, though, itself, so...
Either way, when I got my account back, guess what? He left a nifty little trail behind with his address, not the address, but the email address on there. And so that was a bit that went into the pocket of information that got shipped over to the cybercrime division for, you know, identity theft and whatever. So
make those people over there at Homeland Security earn their keep doing the right thing instead of, you know,
yeah,
trying to chase down and ruin people, you know.
I mean, you know, and it come under, like Thomas said, come under the guise of, you know, the trusted friend. You know, it's Freeman Jack's account, and Freeman Jack, he's a wonderful guy that I've known from way back, and, you know, had no reason to not trust him, and he was asking for some help, so I was clicked on a link, and thought I had to re-log into Skype because something must have went wrong, and that's where it all started. Anyway, lesson learned, so moving right along. I posted a couple links down in the chat room over at www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. The first link in there is Gerard Morin. He's the guy working on alternative energy, and he's pretty much in along the same lines of what I'm talking about, with the exception is he's not into the plasma portion of it. He's into proving that his theories on how electricity actually works. And with that said, I posted a link over there for you to go check out his work that he's doing. And the second link that I have to give credit to is Zero Fossil Fuel over on YouTube has done a complete replication of the Keshi triple reactor, whatever you want to call that doggone thing. And he's got it on live stream right now actually running so that people can see, you know, for themselves. And you know, when it's all said and done, nobody will be able to say that he didn't give them a fair shake as far as the technology. We followed all the steps, step by step, exactly the way that Keshi and his group described it. And the whole purpose of him doing that was to show people, you know, you got to be careful out there because there are people out there going to be selling you snake oil and trying to scam you. And Zero Fossil Fuel doesn't normally mess around with technologies that aren't plausible, but in this case, because it has become so big, he did a complete replication, the nano coating and everything, and he's giving it a fair shake. It's up and running right now, and he's also got the McGrav unit, which I would call a litter box, because there's one guy on his YouTube channel said, look, his cat's going to the McGrath. I about died laughing. But either way, he's got one of those things on the way to run beside this, because according to them, if you have this reactor running next towards one of these, it'll give you all the free energy and stuff like that. You'll see plasma and whatever, free plasma in there. If you got some time to waste, I'd say go look at it. But, you know, Fossil Fuel, if you look at his work, he did a really good job on it. He went step by step. He's got plenty of videos out there, shows how he made everything, and by the specs of what Keshi claims. And so once that's all said and done, it'll either prove or disprove itself. It's built. It's running. So... with that said, I don't need to talk about that dude anymore, huh? You there?
Let's hope we can stop talking about him.
Yeah. Well, you
enough
know,
is enough.
The purpose of this whole deal was, we talked about one time that we need people out there, honest researchers, that's going to give things an honest shake and not try to pull no shenanigans and do all the kind of, you know, crazy stuff.
We need fraud assassinators.
Yeah.
If you give it a fair shake and it's legitimate, then, you know, it's got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. So. Well, and that's what he did, you know. He put it together just like it was said to needs to be done. And so, you know, he gave it a fair shake. And it'll speak for itself because it's up and running. And he, like I said, he did it right to the specs of what they said it had to be done, how everything had to be nano coating and the materials and so on and so forth. So there's an honest test of the technology, and that's what I'd like to see with other technologies. You know, not to run around and debunk people who's actually trying to do research, but to keep the frauds, you know, at bay, because what we're trying to accomplish in the alternative energy community, I believe, is an important deal. You know, if you believe we got to save the planet, then we need to be looking for clean, renewable energies that, you know, aren't out there selling people, you know,
snake oil.
Yeah, snake oil. So that's what that's all about. Anyway, the live stream link is over there to Zero Fossil Fuels YouTube. You can click on that and you can actually see the thing running, and there's a description underneath what he's doing. And he takes all the measurements. He even weighs out everything. He's doing everything, covering all bases, so that when it's all said and done, then nobody could say that he didn't give him a fair...
Fair hearing.
Yeah. So, and then he's going to move on to some more plausible technologies that he's talked with, Mark Danzy. He's out there. He's one of the guys that kind of like the fraudster assassinations. He's a skeptic until he sees things that can be measured and, you know, weighed and stuff like that. And
make sure there ain't no hidden wires.
Yeah. But...
He's willing to go down there and put his life on the line and possibly end up getting shocked by the thin wires to prove whether it's legitimate or not.
According to Zero Fossil Fuel, Mark Danzy's pretty excited about some new cores that are made. I can't remember exactly how he explained it, but there's some new exotic metals that some people have been working with, and they came up with a way to, you know, heat these up to like 700 and some odd degrees and cool them down real fast, and then they would crystallize, and they made really impressive cores that literally took no input, and it was actually putting out something. So, you know, it's exotic metals, more or less, you know, but and different alloys that they mix together. And like I said, I can't remember, but I believe one of his videos, the last second to the last one he just put out, I believe he's talked about it a bit in there. And so that'd be something interesting to look into for the future. It's just a mixture of some metals, and for some reason it has some sort of cool effect that they're thinking could have possibilities. And it's, you know, like in a testing stage right now, so it's nothing permanent.
Right.
So, I need to take a breath. So, what do you what do you think about all this, Tom?
All of what?
All of anything. I don't know.
You mentioned a whole bunch of different stuff all in a row.
Well, that's kind of
starting with packing and spiraling out of control until we hit Dark Danzy.
Yeah, I did talk a whole lot of stuff out there on the table. But the whole key of the deal is, if you're going to put out some information, you need to put some good information out there for, the trusted information.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm like most of these guys out here who is really trying to do honest research. I don't want people out there getting scammed. Number one, because it's harder to get your ideas out there on the table when everybody thinks everybody's a crook.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And then
it's doing no good. It's doing no good except to line the pockets of somebody who doesn't want to work.
Yep.
You know.
And so. then when something really, really good comes along, then a lot of folks are so skeptical they might just overlook, you know, a good piece of the puzzle.
Might.
Yeah, they do.
Might.
Right?
Yeah, I was going to say they do with fervor too. You know. It's nothing but buttholes and elbows the second you mention anything that is decent, because they've been told, you know, this is decent, and then, you know, scammed so many times, all they want to do is run away now.
Yeah. And
that's why I said there's room out there in the market for people who that's all they do is just debunk people's garbage and expose good technology for what it is, so that people can trust it, you know, somebody that they can trust to have an unbiased opinion and actually spend the time to replicate the technology that people are making claims on, so we can see who's a legitimate claim and who's not. And I think, honestly, someone who's willing to do that should get some funding to do just that. Just keep pushing it, you know,
yep.
Until we find something that works.
Well, so,
and not just something. I mean, let's there's more than enough possibilities out there. I'm sure there's, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of different ways to generate the free energy we need. Free as in, like, other than the expense of maintaining your own equipment, you know, it doesn't cost anything. You're getting energy from the sun one way or another, whether it's through wind power that's created by heat differentials from the sun hitting the earth and the earth turning and the dark side of the earth, you know, cooling back down and whatnot. Or it's, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, fossil fuel is free energy because none of those carbon compounds formed without the sun doing something at one point and putting its energy into plants, and then they were eaten by animals, and then, you know, if that's how it all happened, it's all still solar energy stored in the ground.
Well, I agree,
we've outlived that. It's time to move on. Let's move on to a better source that we don't have to dig out of the ground. Let's start making something that, you know, we can throw on the table right away.
I agree, and I'm not against fossil fuels.
It's like you said with the government. You're not anti-government. You're anti-corruption.
Yeah,
and that's what we've got a lot of in the fossil fuel industry is a lot of corruption.
When somebody has a monopoly on the pretty much certain industry, you know, they make a lot of money, all right? Now, I ain't got no problem with somebody making a lot of money. It's just all the people they got to step on the way to do so.
Yeah, you know? If they were being honest with what they were doing, then, you know, let them have all the profit they can make. Because, you know, at that point, profit means value. But this is they're basically working with stolen value because they're using large quantities of money to manipulate governments and whatnot to put a gun to people's heads so they can get what they want.
Yeah, and then that and manipulating prices on there, you know, because artificial scarcity or whatever, and then...
That still, you know, falls into the category of corruption because they're lying.
Yeah.
If they were, you know, honestly saying, look, we have a whole bunch of it, but we're not going to sell it for less than this price because we think it's worth more money, it'd be a little harder to sell that scam, you know.
Well,
and that's why I said we really need somebody to get serious that's got some land, either down south where there's plenty of kudzu that's already out of control, or somewhere where you get a hard freeze so you can get some cuttings from somebody who lives down there and grow it on your land and not have to worry about it escaping your property, because the first winter comes along, it'll kill every last bit of it off, and you have to start them from scratch. So the only crop that you'd be able to grow from year to year would be the ones you're protecting, either in a house or in a greenhouse or something, until the winter's over. And convert that, like I said, throughout the alcohol process into polyethylene, and then cook that down like the Japanese guy was showing people could be done, to make crude oil out of oil, you know, or out of plastic.
Well,
because if you can eliminate the monopoly that drilled the equipment that it requires to drill holes in the ground and be able to move from place to place and just tap in, take the oil, and then run, because as soon as the oil's gone from the ground, that's it. It's not making any more. You know, that particular pocket is what it is, you know. I mean, I'm guessing if you wait long enough, which humans don't live very long, you'll see another bubble of oil that'll pop up in that same spot. But, you know, if you can literally on demand create out of raw plant matter all the oil you need to run your vehicles and whatnot, and have a surplus to, say, share with your friends or give to your friends or sell to your friends, that removes the monopoly, because there's tons of land out there they have no control over that other people already own, individuals already own, that they could be growing these plants on. And it would make it work with the kudzu. It's more efficient because the kudzu grows so fast than other crops, but that doesn't mean other crops couldn't be used. Anything you can turn into alcohol, anything that the yeast will, by its own very nature, without any input other than the sugar you feed it and the right conditions for it to grow in will create all the alcohol you need, you know.
Yeah, there's all kinds of other technologies out there that could be used that just kind of go by the wayside. And it's a shame because if we're supposed to be moving forward, it's kind of hard to do so when somebody has a monopoly on the power industry or even the auto industry. You know, I've watched a documentary on all the different auto industries and the doggone electric cars. You know, they made an honest attempt to build electric cars. They really did. And the fuel industry pretty much beat them toothless on the deal until they pretty much couldn't afford to do it anymore. There were some really nice cars that were built, you know. And if you go back and actually pay attention to what was going on back there, they, like, for one car that I really like, I like the Tesla car that they put out. They said the most expense on that one was the batteries, you know, but the car looked cool as all get out, man. And, you know, there were a whole bunch of different major manufacturers that built some really decent cars, but they were met with a lot of resistance from the other side. So at one point, I thought maybe, you know, it was the car manufacturers, you know, that was all up on this deal. But in reality, it turns out, you know, the doggone oil industries is the ones that hindered the whole electric car. You know, it's not like we don't have the technology, and I'm sure at some point they'll come back. But, you know, with that kind of influence and money behind the scenes making it hard on people... The one guy that had his, he was an independent guy that had his own shop, they literally burnt him out. I mean, they burned his shop down. And, of course, you know, he didn't have the insurance to cover all of his work. I mean, eventually he did start over again, but, you know, it was a hard road for him.
Right.
And that's a shame, man, because when you got folks out there, you know, once on one hand, the mainstream's telling you, well, we got to reduce our carbon footprint, and then on the other hand, they're...
they're doing everything to stop the people who are actually reducing the carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially on the solar industry, you know. Okay, maybe solar panels aren't, you know, the best way to go. But either way, it's a step forward. If a solar panel isn't reducing your carbon footprint, then I'll eat my hat, man. I mean, you got your turning sunlight into electricity.
No, I'm telling you, man, the way they're making them now, they're not reducing the footprint because it takes more energy. But it's mostly boiling or melting. The silicon is absorbing most of the energy that the oil industry puts into it, and we can use solar power to do that. That's why I said that's another thing I want somebody to set up, you know, a facility of basically just a whole bunch of 1 foot or 1 foot or a half foot, you know, 6-inch by 6-inch mirrors on a concentrated point. You can run that through a glass walled chamber, so as it's entering the chamber wall, it's still spread out over like an 8 or 10 foot area. But when it gets to the center of the chamber, you're pushing all that down into 1 6-inch square area, and you can squeeze as many photons as you want to a single point. So you could melt all of that sand as it, like, literally just set up a hopper that has it running through a funnel and have a stream of it passing through that 6-inch section of photon-controlled area, fill the chamber with argon, and melt that sand down, turning it back into, you know, into molten silicon dioxide. You add something else to it while it's being done like that, and it'll react with the oxygen that's in the silicon dioxide, and you get pure silicon out of it. You know, in fact, if you use boric acid, mixing that with your sand and shavings of aluminum, you could literally, like, you know, use scrap aluminum and those other two compounds, run that through that, heat that up to, like, you know, 2,500 to 3,000 degrees with sunlight alone, right? And what you get out of the other end is borinated silicon, ready to make into solar cells. You've now knocked out 67% of the energy cost to make a solar cell. So it doesn't take 20 years or 20, actually about 25 to 30 years to recoup the energy you put into that solar cell. Now it's only going to take like maybe 5 or 10 years. And solar cells will last up to 200 years. They only put out 1% of their power at, you know, year 198, 199, but they're still putting power out.
Yeah, well, I guess what I was saying was that it's when they're already built. You know, I know the process is probably take a lot more, but once they're already built, I mean, you know, they're not putting out carbon. So
yeah, when they're sitting out there putting electricity out on your lawn, they're not putting any putting any carbon into the atmosphere. All the carbon's put out at one time, right at the very beginning when they're making it. Well, so you break free of using carbon-based compounds to heat things up, and like I said, it takes like three times. So you could pretty much get rid of all about 90% of the energy input that's done from oil and coal.
Yeah.
And just use clean sunlight out in the desert. Where the sand's already at.
Well, personally, I don't think the oil and coal is going to harm anything, but, you know, that's just me personally, you know.
Well, it's not a matter of whether it harms things or not. Even if you look at it in a logistic sense, there are other places you can't use concentrated sunlight from mirrors to do the work you need to do, so let's save it for there.
Yeah.
You know, that'll reduce the cost, for one thing, because we won't have to spend as much effort providing it to, you know, a source that doesn't need it, so that there's more to go around for the people who do need it, that they can't use anything else.
Well, my brain just went dead. Justin's trying to get in. He's wondering why he couldn't call in. Anyway, it's like this, man. These folks out there, they're always preaching save the planet. The government's out there saying we got to save the planet, and so on and so forth.
These are the same people who are saying, well, there are too many people on Earth, but they ain't willing to jump off that bridge.
Yeah. And so,
like, you think the population needs to be reduced? There's a building. Go jump off of it. But stop telling people they have to go die, you know.
Yeah, instead, I agree.
You know.
So the technologies that are already out there are a step forward, and anytime people start to, you know, they say one side of their neck, they say, you know, we got to save the planet, but then out the other side, they got to say, well, you know, this ain't good or whatever, you know, like solar or wind or whatever. There's always some reason why you can't use it. The windmills are going to chop up the birds. The solar panels are going to, you know, make the neighborhood look ugly or whatever.
That's ridiculous. If you have to lay a solar cell so it's facing the sun. When you're facing the sun like that, it's a lot harder for people walking on the ground to see it, because the sun is coming down from overhead, whereas you're on a level plane. Unless you're up on a roof looking down on the landscape, you're not going to see those solar cells that well. They, you know, they're not taking up that much of your field of vision. That's ridiculous.
Well, the whole thing is, most of the ones complaining about it are the ones that want their cake and eat it too, man.
It's the electric companies, people who are invested in electric companies, because if you've got people making their own electricity, they don't have to buy from you anymore. You know.
Well, I'm looking forward to a day where we still have fossil fuel running cars, but we got some really cool electric cars. So that if you believe in the whole global warming / climate change, then you can get in your electric car and stop complaining about it, and the other guy can get in his internal combustion engine and start, you know, you guys go back to your business, whatever. Meanwhile, I'd like to make some moves forward in technology. I'd like to take some of these technologies that people have been out there researching and have more people like Zero Fossil Fuel out there who's done a fantastic job of replicating a deal to show whether it does or doesn't work and moving right along. You see what I mean? It's the whole alternative energy.
Less fighting, more work.
Yeah. It's just like in the whole so-called truth movement out there, man. You got knuckleheads in there just trying to get everybody all fighting and riled up. And
trolls.
Yeah, how are you going to get anything done?
Trolls.
And then you you got other knuckleheads out there sending you links, and you click on them, and bam, you lose your Skype account. Oh, man, what a mess.
Thieves.
Yeah. Anyway, they'll get theirs eventually, I'm sure. You know, what comes around goes around. But in the meantime, I like to try to get some stuff done. I finally got my part in for my generator that I'm working on, and I figured out a way that I can do it without having it milled to build me a new temporary reactor so that I can show everybody what I'm talking about on the plasma technology that has to do with energizing argon into the fourth state of matter and producing heat. So that should be a project that should be done here pretty soon, and I'm happy about that. And it's something that you can test for yourself. I'll have the best testing I can do, and give everybody else an opportunity to do the same thing. I can show you all the ideas in the world, but if you don't take them and run with them, then, that's just an idea.
I believe the phrase is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if the ideas and theories that I've got as far as electricity and what Gerard Morin's out there working on, pretty much the same thing, when you produce high voltage, it doesn't come with the resistance that it takes for at a lower voltage with a higher current and higher wattage and amperage and stuff. It's less resistance when you got high voltage. Now, how are you going to take that high voltage and put it back into something that you can use? Well, the same exact way that the power company's doing it. They dump it down into transformers, which drops it down to a voltage that your house can withstand. Otherwise, that 7,000 volts comes flying through your house uninhibited, you're going to have some problems in your house.
Booms.
Yeah, need a lot of smoking going on. So, with that said,
smoke and mirrors.
I want to take my ideas in form of energy and move the energy away from the generator and using things like what Stan or Gerard Morin and a bunch of other guys out there have been doing with high voltage. There's all kinds of possibilities and potentials for new and improved technologies. So that's where I stand on that. It took me forever and a day to try to get a part made because everybody wants you to have thousands of them. You got to order in bulk, and in bulk you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. Well, an average Joe ain't got thousands and thousands of dollars. But right. I found a guy with a good metal lathe who could do the work that I needed, and he only charged me $45 to do the work that I needed. It took me over a year to try to find somebody to do because everybody else wanted the big money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it'd be good for if
or
somebody
didn't have their equipment set up.
Yeah. If somebody out there had good equipment and we could have a network together, I could have mailed the part to them that I needed and paid them for their time, and they could have mailed it back to me, and it would have been a done deal. But, it was a matter of trying to find somebody local, and I got lucky, and I found somebody local who could turn it on a metal lathe, and it got done. And so now I got my generator portion. And basically the only thing I'm going to use that generator for is to produce the high voltage, the high frequency that I want in order to energize the gas into the plasma state. And that's the direction I'm going with my research. Now, Gerard Morin, he's going in a slightly different direction, but either way, the more directions we go in, the more we're going to find out, the more discoveries and new ideas actually get on the table. What do you think?
You
said it. Yeah. So anyway, I still don't know why I couldn't get Justin in here. He had some ideas on Tesla he wanted to talk about. So if I see him in the room, but I don't hear him or I don't see his picture. Anyway, so where do we go to from there, man? Anything new on your side of the fence?
No, just still working on getting the shop set up. So
cool.
More roadblocks, but I'm going to keep moving forward until I get through them all.
Oh, yeah, there was one other thing that I wanted to point out, too, as well. Zero Fossil Fuel has essentially done virtual labs on his own. I mean, he's got real-time live streaming of his lab, and he's got a chat room built up where he can actually talk back and forth to people watching his experiments. And that's what I need to try to get set up for Shaziz Radio and Mad Science, is that the setup that he's got, I need to talk to him and see how... He uses an IRC chat, and he uses YouTube for the live streaming, and he's got it set up pretty good. That's I would kind of like to try to duplicate what he's doing over here on this website, so we can do our experiments live, and people can actually see what's going on, and you know, get the ball rolling that way. What do you think?
Sorry, I was looking in the different chat rooms because checking to see if Barry and Muddy wanted in. So
cool, we could use their input.
Yeah.
Anyway, Zero Fossil Fuels, he's got a website. Let me see if I can. I just bookmarked my own website while trying to click on the bookmarks.
I thought you were going to say you clicked one on another one of those links.
No.
Oh,
I learned my lesson on that, man. Yeah, I ain't doing that again. Yeah, that was just flat out ridiculous. Anyway, yeah. Over here at ShazizRadio.com, superchat.html, I'm going to post a link right now to Zero Fossil Fuels website so that you can go over and check out live streaming, and he's actually got a IRC chat going on there where you can actually talk to him real time when he's live streaming, and it's basically what I wanted for virtual labs, pretty much the same thing, and he seems to have got it figured out. So if somebody knows Zero Fossil Fuel personally and can talk to him and see how he went about it, and maybe we can get this thing set up over here.
He's got more than one lab that people are able to, if they're able to set their own send their own video feed for their lab in. Because that's what virtual labs was meant to be, was multiple labs all tied together as one single lab.
Well, he's got the where he can actually have the chat room right alongside the live stream, and you could replicate it on multiple pages to where, you know, it could all be linked to the same deal where
right.
People can just click around to which ones they want to join in. And
so we could literally just get a bunch of people doing the same thing he's doing. If you have a lab, we'd show them how to set that up, and then just include them on the page. So you scroll down until you hit the one you want and click on the link to go to it.
Yeah. So if you're interested in Tesla technology, you click on that link, or hydrogen technology, and so on and so forth, and you'll find a researcher working on real-time what you're looking for.
Right. Okay. That sounds good.
Anyway, I guess Justin left the conversation there, so I don't know why.
You didn't add him to this group. That's why he couldn't call. He kept trying to call that other group.
Well, I can try, but I think you started the call, so maybe you got to add him.
No, you can add him.
Oh, let me see it again. Do-do-do-do-do. So, that's good for radio, ain't it?
Newt-newt.
Let's try it again. Hopefully he'll click on it. All right, there
energy.
We go. Try it again. Justin, are you there yet? Justin, hello. Going once, going twice.
Now, you added him to the wrong room. You got to add him to the actual call. You're adding him to some other room.
No, it's in the one. It's got the red button that says end call on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'm clicking on the thing to see who's all in here, and there ain't nobody but you and I in here.
No, but I think you had him blocked.
Because you should still be able to add him.
Well, I added him. Anyway, this is exciting. No, let me try this way. I'll go this way and try it again. He says he's in there. This is terrible for radio. I can't talk and type at the same time, otherwise I'll say something stupid. Alright, so Virtual Labs, I guess to get started that would be the best route. So he's got a pretty good setup over there. He done a fair deal on there, and I don't know why Justin can't there. I see his picture now.
Yeah, it only said one participant. That was you.
Yeah.
It doesn't show the person who's looking at the screen in the list of participants. So.
Well, it popped up a picture of him and his twin.
Yeah. Well, I unblocked him and added him. So.
Oh, all right.
I don't talk to people who keep hanging up on me or who, you know, call me and then walk away. And
yeah.
Leave nothing but dead air.
Yeah. So yeah.
Delete them due to inactivity.
All right. So, moving right along. Justin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, yes.
Yeah, I can hear myself echoing in the background.
I'm going to turn my volume down a bit.
All right, cool. So... Testing.
Echo.
All right, we're live, guys, and we've pretty much trashed the show, but it's all right.
Use your original Skype account to trash it.
Yeah.
Not having to use a backup account because somebody stole the other one.
So far, we've talked about Gerard Morin and his research, posted a video down in there, and we also talked about zero fossil fuels replication of the Keshi gizmo, and we talked about, I've got parts for my gizmo, and we talked about getting your doggone Skype account hacked, and so with that said, Justin, you told me you had some ideas on Tesla technology. Would you care to elaborate?
Kind of, but not really on air.
Oh, well. Okay.
Well, let's just...
So what do you think about, have you seen the link with Gerard Morin's work?
No.
Man, what have you seen that we're talking about?
Well, I try to keep my face in a book.
Oh, okay. Is it a good one?
Oh, yes.
Cool. Alright, so...
What I'll say about the Tesla coil is that you gotta turn the linear into propagation. So you gotta turn that... Instead of hooking up the secondary coil to a torad, you gotta put that discharge or a capacitance into an electromagnetic wave, a wave guide, and then you put it to the torad.
Alright, well, you just like blew right over everybody's head who has no idea what you're talking about. But
in the Wardenclyffe Tower,
Einstein
speaks of a hood and a cup, and yep. Nobody is using a hood and a cup, which is which couples the Tesla coil to the wave guide. We use RT units now, but nobody's taking it one step further. Everybody's still only doing half of the patent.
Well, essentially what you're talking about is wireless transmission of energy. Right? And so, you know, with that said, there's a whole lot more to Tesla's technology than just wireless transmission. Now, the way that you explained how it's functioning and all, you know, your average Joe can't necessarily understand, but, you know, I understand what you're talking about. If you go take a look at some of the work that Gerard Morin's doing, I think you could probably relate to what he's talking about, because he explains electricity in a whole different fashion than what the book itself says. So, I think it'd be interesting for you if you just checked out some of his work and see what he's actually accomplished with what he's doing. It's essentially using energy, but it's not in the wireless energy realm. It's essentially using energy the same way that Tesla was using energy. Did I lose you?
No, no, you didn't lose me. No, I was just listening.
Yeah, so, with that said, Tesla was into a lot of high voltage, and there was a lot of anomalies that came along with high voltage that were really interesting, and you can find that to this very day. And if you're into wireless energy transfer, then you also need to be able to transfer that energy to the farthest extent without, you know, frying somebody's hair off or,
burning eyebrows off?
Yeah, burning eyebrows or giving people brain tumors or cancer. And so there are many different ranges of frequencies out there that are safe, that aren't going to bother, you know, the human being or whatever when they're running. So if you can get that down to the actual patent like you're talking about and doing it exactly the way that he was actually doing it for Wardenclyffe, which they never got a chance to fire it up because J.P. Morgan cut it before it ever even got that far. But either way, what he was working on would have been pretty impressive to see the outcome if he could actually transmit, you know, whether it be bouncing the energy off the ionosphere or, you know, wirelessly through the air or even through the ground for that matter. You know, the technology was there. It is possible. We use radio transmitters today, which is essentially Tesla technology. And, you know, there was guys out there like Marconi and stuff who were doing wireless telegraph, and there were other guys out there who were working on technology such as the same, but nobody took it as far as Tesla actually did. And, you know, right now, today, whenever you talk on a cell phone, that signal goes out and bounces off of a repeater, and then goes out and bounces off another repeater, and eventually makes it to somebody else's phone. But that isn't any different than what we're talking about, how to get these doggone Tesla coils tuned into each other. I mean, essentially what a Tesla coil is a transmitter receiver. It's an antenna. You know, the way that you pulse that wave and the frequency at which you pulse that is going to determine, you know, how far away it goes and what range it is that somebody can tune in to hear it and so on and so forth. You see,
yes, with only half of it, it is a transmitter receiver. With the full schematic, it can't be a receiver, only a transmitter, because it doesn't allow anything to come back. It acts like a diode. It pumps.
Well,
one direction only.
At certain amounts of pressure, it's not going to be able to come back. But even just a piece of metal, it doesn't matter if it's just a piece of metal, it doesn't have nothing to it. It has its own frequency, and it will resonate at that specific frequency. So if somebody on the other side is sending out a signal at the same frequency of that metal's going to vibrate. You know, if it's within range of that field, the fluctuation of that field, it's going to detect it. So pretty much everything out there, including the human body, is an antenna. Everything has its own resonant frequency. And that's what Tesla was trying to show everybody. And if you could tap into any of those frequencies, you can literally send wireless energy just like you send data on a computer. You know, it's the dots and dashes. It's how fast you're doing it and what frequency range, and that you got the proper receiver on the other side. Now, with what you're talking about, like the transmitter portion of it and not being able to come back, you know, that's all well and good if that's what you want it to do, you know, just to be able to transmit out. You know, the radio stations do it all the time. They don't want no feedback on the radio station, but if you notice, you can actually get feedback on a radio station. It comes in the back door, such as if I call up the radio station while I'm online and they're broadcasting, it'll feed back in between the radios. I've done it before. It's fun. They don't like it much, but
trolling radio stations.
Yeah, talk radio show. Used to call them up every time. You know, they get on my nerves. I'd call them up, and then I'd do this crazy laugh, and I reach down to crank the volume up, and it would echo back and forth between my stereo and theirs, and get louder and louder as you go. And
they didn't see your number and start blocking you.
Well,
oh no, it's that crazy guy. He's gonna give us a bunch of feedback.
The first couple times,
that's kind of what.
Yeah. First couple times I did it, they kind of just hung up on me, but after a while they kind of thought it was kind of humorous because there was this crazy guy that kept calling in on different subjects and then doing this crazy laugh and echoing back and forth on there, you know. It was fun. But either way, that just shows, you know, you can actually transmit back to them, you know, that feedback. You can do it with a guitar, you can do it with, you know, any device out there as far as that goes. Once you know that frequency and you're just duplicating, it's coming via a sound wave that way, it's just echoing back and forth in between their system and your speakers, so.
Right.
There you go.
I think what he's talking about is if you can find a way to cut out the feedback so that you can't get a loop.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to point out.
It has to be new energy. It has to be coming from wherever the source that you're pumping it into it from. And that's where you could potentially turn it into a free energy device.
Well,
it only costs you energy to maintain the equipment. The energy itself is coming from a source that's constantly being renewed by the environment.
And I agree with him. And it also falls back into what Gerard Morin's talking about energy being radiation as opposed to, you know, electromagnetism. You know, you're radiating that energy out. He shows, he explains, if you have an opportunity to go out there and get on YouTube and look up Gerard Morin, just watch some of his research and just listen to what he's talking about and see how... He took a 2,500-watt generator and sent that frequency out of that generator into a 50 kV transformer and then dumped that down into a 25 kV transformer, and he was running more stuff than that generator should have been able to handle. Now, it's how you're sending that energy out and how you're receiving it on the other side is the only difference between what it is we're talking about. You still there, Justin?
Well, yes, we do, yes.
So you understand what I'm saying? I'm not knocking what you're talking about. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying somebody's trying to call from the Mad Science Room. Can you guys check to see an Adam? Anyway, that's really good for live radio. So you got any more thoughts on it there that you want to share on live or what?
Well, we have to look at the waveguide because the waveguide is a super channel. It's like, you know how the whales, they can sing, right? And then they can hear it from coast to coast. They're actually singing into these waveguides just as much as the theories about the Bermuda Triangle and being able to be captured inside of these, you know, waveguides.
Well, in the radio community, they use waveguides a lot, you know, for expanding their range and such. Microwave Oven uses a waveguide.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How's it going? You sound a little rough there, Raymond.
Oh, man, yeah. I had a rough night.
All right, well, live on air. Don't drop the bomb. Anyway, how's your project going?
Actually, get right down to it. Lord.
Uh-oh.
With the regular Tesla coil, with only half of it, it's linear. We have to keep pumping and pumping in and pumping into it because it follows the law of the inverse square.
Well, for somebody who's like...
It keeps
like,
going out. When you put it into a guide, much like the sound of the sound coming out of the cave along the beach line, or a musical instrument that you talk into, it's guided. It's one-dimensional. It's under compression, density, pressure, whatever you would like to call it.
Well, for somebody who's not, like, really highly educated in the high-tech terminology, could you put it in basic terms that the average Joe could understand?
you're just guiding the electric wave and the magnetic wave together. You don't let them fall apart. You're matching the impedance, right? It doesn't just veer away, spread out. It doesn't follow the law of the sphere.
You're not allowing it to expand like a bubble in all directions at once. You're forcing it into one single direction so you can actually capture all that energy instead of losing it.
Well, yeah.
That's right. With our radio stations, we have, like, if I say 97.7, I only get it in my local area unless they ramp it up more.
That's why I keep talking about why I like high voltage, because it's voltage is pressure. You can send it out, you can fluctuate it, you can change the frequency of it.
High density acts against the natural medium. That's why high voltage is different than low voltage.
Can somebody try to add Raymond again?
I'm all right there.
Oh, I guess you are. Well, Muddy just sent me a message, said you was trying to get in here.
Okay.
He's late. He's like yesterday's newspaper. Old news.
We got a hold of it.
Oh, man. Okay, so back to what you were saying there again, Justin. So you're compressing, yeah, so you're compressing
when
the bubble.
When you agitate high voltage, the intensity is so great that it actually reflects against the natural medium. It's pushing against the natural medium. It's building up pressure in the natural. We can't see it, as we say, but it's there. It's like a capacitor.
But see, that pressure is what we want. We want that pressure because pressure is what gets work done.
That's right, because we want to use the pressure of the natural medium. Right? So when your secondary coil goes up, you use a hood and a cup. It's what joins the RT unit and the electromagnetic wave guide together. And then you run it up to your torad. And it can't go backwards. So the torad is actually two pieces. One side's like your capacitor. It fills up the pressure and fills up, and then it pops, and it claps together. It's like when you clap your hands, that's propagation. That travels out. That's what it's doing.
Cool. Hey, Raymond, could you add me back as a contact?
Do what?
You need to add me back as a contact on Skype.
Okay. And then, so it's you or somebody else? Because,
yeah, well, it's me now.
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah, that was 3 days of total nightmare trying to get my deal back. I was in contact with Skype. I was in contact with the FBI, and I sent them all the information, and finally they, like, looked into it real good, and it took 3 days of total nightmare trying to get that doggone account back.
Just don't do it again.
Oh,
we
I ain't
get back again.
Justin tried to send me a link earlier. I told him I ain't clicking on nothing.
Hey, what's your password?
I ain't telling you.
No, what you gotta do is you gotta troll him. You gotta say my password is password.
Yeah. So anyway, we're starting to get
or just
back.
Say password back.
My password. If all anybody wants to know, I'm gonna tell you. It's consume, defecation, and expire. Okay?
Man.
Wow.
That's I couldn't even remember that one. I'll have to write that down.
Hey,
I
cleaned it up. It's politically correct and to say on the air.
Yeah. All right, so moving right along.
Yeah, before the fecal matter hits the rotary blades.
Yeah, the reciprocating whatever. All right, so, you know, like I said, we talked about all kinds of stuff. Zero fossil fuel, once again, this is the last time I'll say it, is he did a full replication of Keshi's tri-star formation spinning reactor deal, and he's got it up and running. There's a live stream. You can go check it out right now. And he's also going to put one of the McGrabs in the general vicinity. And, you know, he's doing everything that Keshi said you had to do. Of course, even though you talked to him and you listened to his Keshi's deals, he changes his story just about every show. So, you know, hey, we got to put that off to the side because we need to move right along. And it's knuckleheads like that that are slowing down the process. But Raymond's got some good ideas out there as far as how to save energy on your lighting. Justin's working on a few things. I'm sure eventually he'll share with everybody. And Thomas has got a couple gizmos that he's been working on having to do with magnetics. Muddy Mudman has actual flux wind turbines and other projects that he's working on as well. I'm into plasma technology. There's guys like Russ from RWG Research who's working on all kinds of other technologies as well. Plenty of subjects out there for everybody to look into. And we get the virtual lab set up. Like I was saying, I like the way that Zero Fossil Fuel has his set up, and I'd like to get one set up on our website for that. So I need to talk to him how he did it and get that all worked out. So, where do we go to from there, man?
The moon.
The moon.
The moon, Alice. The moon.
The moon's a hologram and the earth is flat.
Really? There's a dome over the earth.
Yeah.
Because that's how God made it.
Well, whatever happened, happened. I don't care. I just want to get some free electricity out there to the world, man. I'm so tired of all this, you know, global warming / climate change debacle. I'm tired of the wars over fossil fuels that are either fossil fuels or not fossil fuels. So
wars over war.
There's so much debate over what's what and who's who and how's how and all that kind of stuff that nothing's getting done, and it's aggravating to the core. So I call it mad science because I get frustrated about the whole episode. That you can't get nothing done. When you try to bring brilliant minds to the table, you need to bring the brilliant minds to the table and leave the egos behind. And, you know, everybody just share their information and get something accomplished. Because we all believe that energy's free. I mean, we're floating in a sea of it. Now, let's tap into it and use it where we can keep the environmentalists happy. And we're never going to keep the government happy because they're not going to be happy unless they're taxing you. Government.
Well, I was going to say, the government says they've got money for you. You have to ask, where did it come from?
Yeah.
Because the government doesn't have any money.
Right.
They don't do anything to earn a living.
Right.
They do a lot of property damage, though.
Yeah, they don't provide any value. They just steal from it.
Yeah, they'll send their thugs over to kick your door in, make you pay your taxes. Or sell your own property on the courthouse steps because you ain't paying taxes.
Well, it's a good idea run amok by a bunch of knuckleheads. So, you know, if you look at it, government at its purest form was basically that guy down the street going, "We got a pothole. I can't afford to fix it. Let me go knock on doors and shake a can. I'm trying to fix this pothole. Let's put some money together and fix this pothole."
Yeah.
And he went, "Hey, yeah, that's a great idea." And they gave him some money. Then eventually they turned into, well, let's create a voting system where we can decide what projects we can take money from people and force them to pay for it.
Right.
And so, that's where it all went wrong, when it went from being voluntary to being mandatory.
Somebody ought to put a graphic out there of a baby being born with Uncle Sam with a gun to his face when he's born. Poke out and the kid wants to duck back in.
Wait, there you go.
I mean, it's what it seems like from the time you're born, you know. Somebody's got to tell you what to do, and you better listen.
Actually, it's people deferring their expenses. They take a loan out that you have to pay when you're born.
Well, I was thinking about this just yesterday. I was thinking about the birth certificate and the Social Security number. And, you know, because of the system and your parents thinking that, you know, everybody has to do this, you know, so that you can have this and that or whatever. And I think about this, I like, the kid didn't ever opt into this. None of us ever opted into it. It was done, you know, basically, you know, we were signed into a contract that we didn't agree to, you know.
Exactly. And actually, now that when your parents tell you you owe me for you being born, that's a contract to that kid that he could never sign. You can't go to a pawn shop and pawn something because there's a contract involved unless you're at least 18. So how do you manage to put a contract, even as a parent, on a child?
Well, and even with the driver's license, you were pretty much kind of deceived into the whole driver's license scenario. You know, we don't want a bunch of knuckleheads driving around, so let's build this driver's license, or however it came about. But either way, you know, at some point, people that get driver's license, they think, well, that's just because I have to, you know, otherwise I'm going to go to jail. Well,
then they think that once they have a driver's license, it gives them a license to do whatever they want.
Well, yeah, that
you
too.
Know, they don't have. I earned my, you know, my right to drive, so I can drive through red lights, and I can, you know, not stop whenever there's a stop sign, and people just got to get out of my way.
But my point is, if you go into a contract willingly deceiving somebody, you know, for personal gain, then they call that breach of contract when you don't do what you said you was going to do in the contract.
Just like the same thing with the debt. That's impeached in binged upon somebody or impinged upon somebody who's not willingly in entering into it, nor are they willingly taking anything that comes from the value of that that contract. It's called an odious debt.
So if somebody was up front with you, and when you turned, like say, the age of 18, you should have had an option to opt out of any contracts that you were opted into at the time when you were born that you had nothing to do with. You see what I'm saying? And otherwise, the system just keeps on going like it is. There's more regulations. That's why I keep saying these future kids that don't know the doggone rights as far as the Constitution, there'll come a time when they won't even know there ever was a Constitution. They won't even know any difference. You know, they'd be born into slavery and not even know it. I mean, we were essentially born into slavery and didn't even know it. You know? Mm-hmm. We were born into servitude via the doggone birth certificate. And, you know, you can follow that back all you want. And then the fact that if you go into court and you don't know the right terminology to use in court, there's where you need Justin, because he's got the terminology. He could study up the court system. He'd be a good attorney. But if you don't know what you're saying when you go to court, you're going to lose. And that's why you got to hire a doggone attorney who may or may not have studied his books well enough to be able to out-terminology the judge or the prosecutor.
Yeah, but why do we even have to abort their vessel? We don't even have to.
Well,
if you ignore the letter that was sent in the mail, then you don't have to.
Well,
send it to your address, really, they're supposed to address you, because that's what an address means.
Knowledge is everything. If you don't know, then how can you defend yourself against it? So the contracts that you're stuck in, if you ain't got no idea how you even got into the contract, you just know that here you're getting hauled off to jail. Essentially, you're being kidnapped. You know, what are you going to do? Then you stand in front of the judge and you use the wrong terminology, and you're just essentially giving them a power over you and making yourself guilty at the same time. You know how many people go into court and plead no contest because they can't, they don't have no defense against nothing? Oh, a lot of people do. They'll go in and pay double or triple the fine just so that the judge won't put any points on their driver's license.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You go to jail to make bail so that you can go to... I'm not saying I'm off.
Yeah, well, there you go. Either way, you know, we got our work cut out for us in the alternative media section of life, and alternative energy, alternative everything, because everything that we try to put out there on the table, the system is going to fight against us. Anytime the system finds anything that's going to, you know, put a dent in their pocket, such as alternative energy designs, they look at all the resistance that everybody gets out there. Now, if you come flat out and claim you got free energy, you better prove it, all right, as far as a free energy device. as far as free energy, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. You never got a bill from the sun. You never got a bill from the wind. And if you had your own crude oil, you wouldn't get a bill from that either if you knew how to refine it. Knowledge is power. So with that said, you know, the world that we live on, whether it's flat or whether it's round or concave or triangle or hex, what's that one, the real big one? I can't remember. What are the geometrical shapes?
It's a potato.
Yeah.
Just said something kind of like, just blew over it. Knowledge is power. I don't want to blow over that. I want people to get that, listen to it, because it is the truth. And, I mean, how do you down the truth? The truth is knowledge is power.
Yep, and then those folks that are a little bit more knowledgeable than you, those are the ones that usually get over on you, man. You know,
exactly.
Such as the government. The government's got there's so many laws on the books. I can't even remember the last number I heard of how many laws are actually on the books in every part of the federal government and or local governments and cities and states and so on. Laws and, you know, regulations.
Well, you don't need a number to know just how ridiculous it is. All you got to do is go through and have a look at a few laws and see that there are some that only exist because they claim they're basically an expansion on another part of a law that doesn't exist at all.
Well, if somebody
who made the laws don't know their own laws well enough to know that that law doesn't even exist and never has.
If somebody tells you that they've never broken the law, they are either not knowledgeable or they're flat out lying, because there are laws on the books. Yeah.
Can a deer break the law? Can a bear break the law?
I don't know,
you're,
maybe.
You're talking about natural law versus man's law.
We're talking about man's law at the moment.
That's why that guy was just saying, I don't recognize your authority. What? How do you plead? I don't recognize your authority. I have no reason to plead anything.
Yeah. See,
you don't have a right to accuse me, so.
But what my point was, if you go by man's law, you know, then you are a criminal, because there's so many different laws on the books that some of them are so outdated ain't even remotely funny. Like in Kansas City, Missouri, you are supposed to get out of your car, have a mule or horse team drag your motor vehicle all the way from one end of the city limits all the way over to the other city limits before you start back up, or you're breaking the law. Do you know that?
What about the ones where they tell you you have to walk ahead of a woman driver with a lantern and a shotgun and fire it three times at each intersection to warn them that she's coming?
I like that one.
Or not being allowed to tease a skunk in Kentucky.
somebody do some research on ridiculous. There's got to be a website out there. Ridiculous laws still on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Find a link. I'd love to see some of these, man. I'd post them. But,
it's illegal to whistle underwater in Florida.
Is that even possible?
I've tried it. It didn't work for me.
Man, I'd probably drown trying that.
Wonder how long it's going to be before someone will find a law that they enacted where it's illegal to try to whistle after eating a packet of crackers.
There's probably one on the books.
I can see little bits of crackers flying across the room. that might be a reason. In a restaurant.
Well,
don't,
no.
Don't
the,
whistle
the point,
after eating crackers
is,
in a restaurant.
The point is you can't whistle because your mouth is dry. Your mouth has to be wet to be able to form the sound, to create the vibration.
Well, I got a big mouth, though, man. I won the whistling contest in high school.
Cool.
I've munched my crackers and it wasn't long now I had the first whistle out.
Well,
but you couldn't do it right the second you stopped eating crackers.
Well, it sounded like one of those whistles that the coach has around his neck, you know, after all the pieces of cracker kept flying through the whistle. But I won.
Oh man, stinks to me the guy across the room.
A nice little blue ribbon.
So anyway, with all the laws and regulations on the books out there, it gets hard to start your own business. It gets hard to try to get a patent on there. Patent is a whole different beast in itself. If you try to go get a patent on something, first you need to know, you never want anything in your patent that says anything to do with perpetual motion. You'll get rejected. They'll reject it.
That's it. Right there. It's a mouthful.
Yep.
The United States government absolutely refuses to patent anything that deals with perpetual motion.
Now, do you know why, though?
Oh, yeah, because it's not possible.
No. They've rejected that because they're assuming it can't be done, and they've already given too many patents out to people who claim to have it, and then they would take their patent as a form of proof to investors and embezzle funds from them.
Right.
It's, you know, the government basically trying to protect people from their own stupidity. It's like, look, if you're going to be an investor, do your research and find out what you're working with. And the first step should have been, you need to prove to me that your patent is legitimate, because you having a patent isn't proof. That's not scientific proof.
Well, and my point is this, let's say, okay, physics says you can't do it. You can't get something out of nothing, or you can't, you got losses that, well, whatever. Let's say somebody really seriously does come along with a proven perpetual motion device that does work and continues to work forever and a day. How are they going to get a patent on it?
Well, you can still get a patent on something if it shows value in use, whether it's a perpetual motion device or not. The trick is you're going to have the funds to afford independent testing that they choose. That means you got to pay whatever that person decides to charge, or that team of scientists or that organization that's going to do the independent study on it. And you've got to pay the court costs and the judge fees and the lawyer fees and everything else to force them to give you the patent.
Man, see what kind of mess they all created?
Why go after a patent? Why not just make it, duplicate it, and give it out?
That's the way that I would go about it. But I'm just trying to point out that there are individuals out there who get discouraged because they're into alternative designs and stuff like that, and they want to try to make money off their intellectual property, which I don't begrudge them that, because if you invent something, you should get credit for it. But, you know, it gets harder and harder and more expensive the more it goes. There are people that just don't want certain things on the market, you know? And if it did come out to where this thing actually worked, even if you marketed it as a toy, you know, eventually somebody try to buy up that patent from you and put it away, because somebody else might realize that, hey, you can really get perpetual motion. You know, and that ain't good for the science community, because they've been telling you all along that's not possible. But, you know, hey, if you got a nuclear reactor that you can send all the way to Pluto, and it's got a life of 90 years on it, then I would say that's, if it passes a lifetime, that's pretty good in my book, as far as, at the very least, efficiency. Now, if you have the right material...
90 years.
And what's the half-life of highly refined radioactive material?
Well, that's been proven wrong.
Well?
5,000 years, but that has also been proven wrong. I mean, Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah.
But they rebuilt cities. It's been less than 100 years.
Yep.
But the half-life of radioactive material is 5,000 years. Half-life. Bullshit.
But I'm saying they still put those claims out there in the science book.
Excuse my French.
Oh, Raymond, did you...
Pretty sure that's a... Oh, wait. No.
Did you drop one on the radio, Raymond?
I'm sorry.
You sure did.
Oh, man.
I mean, you just...
Editing we go. Raymond dropped the bomb, so editing we go.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Alright, moving right along. My point is, like, if the science community out there says the half-life of highly refined radioactive is dangerous because it's a at very least 100 to 1,000 to, you know, whatever years. If it's more than a lifetime to me, I'm going to call it perpetual motion as far as I'm concerned. That's free energy.
Yeah.
Because it's going to last long enough, I ain't going to have to pay for it if I got a reactor.
Right.
Yeah, your perception of that item's movement is basically perpetual because it doesn't stop until you've stopped.
Yeah.
Until after you've stopped.
So after I'm gone, then they can argue and debate it. Right now, in the meantime, if I could use radioactive waste in a safe manner to run my lights for the next 100 years or however long I'm alive, then that's good enough for me. Because somebody else could use the next pile of waste to run theirs for 100 years. So wouldn't that be kind of perpetual?
Kind of, sort of.
Anyway. I don't want to argue the laws of physics. Everybody knows I'm a rebel against the laws of physics. If they say it can't be done, I'm going to at least try it before I deny it. I ain't been to space yet, but if I ever get there, I'll make sure that you guys get some really good photos out of the deal, because they got really awesome cameras these days that NASA hasn't been able to afford yet. And so... Somebody, hey, that's it. We're going to start a GoFundMe account for NASA to get better cameras. What do you think? We'll send them some good HD cameras.
That'll work.
And say, look, next time you go to Mars, you throw this camera up there and send us some real-time data, some really good pictures, and don't smudge out anything. We want to see what's really there. It's either there or it ain't, you know. I'd like to know if there's been past civilizations out there somewhere, you know?
All right, sure there is. You know I've got a little age on me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of age on me, so I can remember things that didn't exist. But I do remember back years ago when we had black and white television. In fact, I remember beyond that. But all of a sudden, they came out with color television. And I'm sitting here watching on a color television set, okay? Because my family, you know, they kept up with the times, you know? So, and all of a sudden, I'm watching this program from SeaWorld in Florida. And the announcer says, isn't this something? The studio just spent $27,000. Now, back then, that was a lot of money. Today, it's nothing. But back then, that was a lot of money. Studio just spent $27,000 for a brand new color camera. And here we are at SeaWorld showing you a black and white whale.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, Raymond.
Yeah.
What was life like back during the Civil War? It was rough.
Hey, he's not being too mean. He didn't say what was life like before they invented dirt.
Yeah, I didn't say Raymond was back during the day when Moses said pass the soap.
Letty said it right when he told everybody that I am so old, my social security number is 2.
The top 10 was the 10 commandments.
Yeah. Man.
You know, I dug a ditch.
Well, we still love you, brother.
School, I got a job driving a backhoe digging a ditch. And yeah, every Friday I'd get my check, and the bottom right-hand corner, it would say Jehovah. And now the thing is, if you take an airplane and you fly east and you're in the west, or you fly west because you're in the east, and you go over this ditch I dug, which they now call the Mississippi River, okay? Trust me, look at this river, folks. I did. It's absolute proof. I drank on the job, okay? There you go.
So who dug the Grand Canyon?
Oh.
That was an accident.
That way everyone was going to take a leak and it ended up making that gutter?
Yeah.
While they were digging the Mississippi?
Really? And put dirt something.
Anyway, back down to technology and reality. You know, this whole thing is, you know, it's about getting something done. That's what I want. I want to get something done. I got my parts available. You guys got any new projects that you're working on that you might be able to talk about or what? Nobody?
Well, I got the permanent magnet induction heater heating the church.
Yeah, you showed me a picture of that the other day.
Yep.
So how's that working for you?
Great.
You run it off of wind?
Not electrical.
Oh.
I removed the old boiler system in the church. It was costing $1,200 a month to run, and we're looking at...
Should hook up a windmill.
We're looking at about $100 to run, heat it now.
You should hook up a windmill to that thing, too. Put a differential on it for the transmission, so that way when the wind's blowing, the electric motor doesn't have to run it.
Well, coming spring, we're going to put a well in, and we're going to cut off the electrical and go from there, yeah.
So, what's the standard over there in Canada? Are they going to, once you get off the power grid, condemn your property?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. You know, we got the church. The church is, you know, it's a temple. We got our city, our municipality, our court, our federal exemptions. We are recognized. Now, what they're really scared of about churches is that churches can form governments and become a separate identity, just like every country has been formed through religion and sovereignty.
It's too deep for me, man. I'm doing good enough to survive in the rabbit hole, let alone try to get out. If you ever find the exit door, just let me know. Somebody needs to write like a how-to guide, how to get out of the matrix in five simple steps.
Pick up a book.
Pick up a book?
Yeah.
Turn
off the TV.
Turn off
the TV. Stare at the stars, make an astrolabe, do some Tootsie Couple math, and read a book.
How's that going to get you out of the birth certificate, the driver's license, the Social Security card, the system in general, Obamacare, and whatever?
Learn how to hunt, dig a hole, and swear off all electronics.
Yeah.
So become Mormon?
I don't want to live in a cave.
Amish.
Pour out your own water.
Become a Luddite.
Well, it's funny you say Amish, because the Amish own all of the wood in Canada.
Well, hey, at least they got their own society without having to worry about all the craziness going on.
When was the Amish and Mennonite established? Before the United States?
I have no
idea.
I thought
they all started off as pilgrims, and then they were Puritans, and I think everything broke off from that, but I was told I was wrong on that.
I don't know, but you got to respect them, because for as long as I can remember, they've had their communities, and they still manage to hold them around. I see the buggies, horse-drawn buggies driving around all the time. And
yeah, it's against their religion to use any modern technology, but you don't see them out there trying to get it all banned.
Yeah.
Not once have they tried to get it banned.
If I was hitchhiking, I'd more than happily take a ride.
Well, that community, they also have a lot of secrets that a lot of people don't, you know, as far as alternative medicines that, you know, a lot of people don't even know about, you know. They don't go to the doctor like you and I go to the doctor.
That's actually science of herbal medicine that I was talking about, John Hunterman. That's where he got some of his concoctions of different herbs to deal with different maladies, so...
Yeah, when the baby's born and they got jaundice, they're not even supposed to use a light to help the baby.
Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about it to talk about it, but all I know is that anything out there that could be potentially beneficial, whether it be alternative medicines or cures or whatever, you know, alternative technologies, should be on the table, and they should be available for everybody. So when you go to the doctor, he should know, you know, different things like, you know, herbal medicine as long as well as regular medicine. Or there should be legal doctors out there who are into alternative energy. There might be some out there. I don't know.
What happens if they're having a childbirth by candle, and they say, bring your candle a little closer. Then when she finally gets burnt by it, then she pushes hard enough and it comes out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Does anybody out there know the exact definition of alternative? We use that word a lot, but what does it mean?
Different.
Surely.
Something different than the norm.
Okay, that's good. What, anybody else got something? Something different than the norm.
Yeah, what we're told is the norm anyway.
So alternative could be normal, but to someone else, not to us, because we are used to the norm. The norm being drugs, being fossil fuels. So anything outside of the norm, anything outside.
So if you grew up with wind turbines and solar panels, then everything else is alternative.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that disturbs me, especially in the medicine community, is that when you see the commercials on TV about a new drug, they'll list off what it's going to help you with, but then they'll list off all the potential hazards, not excluding death. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a second. You know, there's a cure out there with baking soda for certain things, and so that doesn't have a bunch of, possible death side effects listed on it, so I think I might rather try the baking soda or the hemp seed oil or something like that, as opposed to waking up in the morning with a third eyeball on my head or something like that, or worse.
I like the baking soda thing because if you've got gas, you take a teaspoon of baking soda and it helps. It doesn't do away with the gas, but it helps. Okay. And it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't have a side effect.
Well, my father-in-law, he takes a sauerkraut juice, not with the, I guess they make sauerkraut out of cabbage, but he takes the juice. They actually sell cans of this stuff, and it's kind of hard to get because there's really only one place that he knows of that makes it. But he takes that for treatment of ulcers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because actually sauerkraut is nothing more than cabbage and vinegar.
Yeah. So there's something in the chemistry right there that apparently relieves symptoms, or he said that he had a friend that did the same thing, that they had diagnosed him with ulcers, that it ended up cleared itself up and he cured himself with it.
Interesting.
Well, see, one time somebody told me about, if you got a really bad case of heartburn, to go drink some vinegar, right? Some white vinegar or apple cider vinegar. And so I was like, wouldn't that be counterproductive because of the acid buildup or whatever? And so, out of curiosity, I had heartburn one time and I took some vinegar. And doggone it, it cleared that heartburn right up.
Right.
Yeah, but it burns first. Stomach into making some bases.
Well, once you get past the initial burn and it levels out, your stomach neutralizes the acid or whatever in there. For some reason or another, whenever you drink the vinegar, your stomach puts something into your stomach that basically neutralizes the acid and levels everything out. But it worked.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have never tried it before if somebody told me about it. So I used to get bad cases of heartburn, and when I drank some of that, it went right away. So there are alternatives out there.
Anybody with heartburn, guys, just take fiber in your diet every day and your heartburn will go away. Guaranteed.
Hey, we got Barry in here.
And I add fiber to my diet every day. And,
cool.
I haven't suffered from heartburn now for about 3 years. So just take fiber daily in your diet, buddy. And if you do feel a little bit of heartburn coming on, take a glass of fiber. Mix up some fiber and throw it in a glass and drink it. 20 minutes later, your heartburn will be gone.
Boomer eats a different bean every day.
You know what, guys?
A little fiber.
Yeah, I have a book here at home that everybody should go up and get. It's called The Encyclopedia of Natural Cures. It's as big a book as you can possibly get. And every disorder in the human body is listed in there, and every cure natural is listed in there. And I follow that religiously now. And I have not gone to a doctor now in 3.5 years.
Is there any chance you could? Is there any chance you could
read it?
Is there any chance you could post the title and a possible link in the chat room for people to check out?
Yeah, I can do that.
Including myself, because I would buy one of those books.
Yeah, hey, well,
if you go to a bookstore, just ask them for the Encyclopedia of Natural Cures and Remedies.
Cool.
It's a huge book.
Yeah,
most bookstores will carry it.
All right.
So there's one that everybody should go up and get.
Well, I've got a Hastings.
Goes wrong with my body now, I treat it naturally. You know what I've done for my knee here? I tweaked my knee a little bit playing hockey here a couple weeks ago. Just a little tweak. I've got this stuff called Comfrey. And what I do with Comfrey is I soften it up. I harvest it in the summertime. I dry it out. I soften it up, and I wrap that Comfrey around my knee for 2 nights. And I'll tell you, man, it's just like brand new. Brand new.
Cool.
So everything that we need to cure our bodies is provided by the earth. And I've said that many times, and I'm completely convinced of it. The more we get away from medicine, the healthier you will be.
I believe that as well.
Period.
I mean,
of course, the whole medical profession is just a crock of crap.
Here we are in the year 2016.
They're coming out with new drugs every week.
Yeah, here we are in
year. This week.
Here we are in year 2016 with all the possibilities of all the genetically modified freakazoid stuff that they make, and you can't cure the common cold?
There isn't a pharmaceutical drug in the world that cures anything, period. I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. There isn't a medical drug to cure. It's a bandage.
I was all clogged up this morning and basically couldn't take a deep breath. I was trying to clear everything out. I tell you what, two strong cups of coffee, man, I got full breath. Feeling good, everything's cleared.
Does anybody know the last time that a medication came out that actually cured a deadly disease?
Not that I'm aware of.
I know the cure. What disease was the last one ever found a cure for? Polio. And it took so much money away from the medical society that they agreed that they would never again cure.
Actually, that's not a cure.
That polio vaccine was actually what gave 90% of the people polio.
Well, I was going to say, polio vaccine isn't a cure. That's a preventative measure. If somebody's already got polio and you give them a polio vaccine, it's not going to cure them of their polio. They're still going to die from it.
Well, see,
usually, it's not the vaccine that cures, if it's a vaccine meant to cure. It's not the vaccine that's cured. It's your antibodies. The vaccine is to teach your antibodies what to fight.
Right, without actually having to fight the real thing. So if it fails, it can keep trying until it succeeds.
Well, see, on one hand, the science community tells you the dangers of radiation, but on the other hand, the science community tells you the only way to cure cancer is chemotherapy and stuff like that. We're going to get you with radiation, which in turn destroys your immune system, which in turn makes your body where it can't heal itself. So you end up going bald, you end up being sick, and there's other possible treatments out there, natural treatments that, I'll tell you what, if they ever told me I had cancer, I'd be sucking down the hemp oil and baking soda as quick as I could. I wouldn't take no chemotherapy or nothing.
Oh, heck no.
I'd rather die from the disease than the torture they're going to put me through with chemotherapy.
Yeah, isn't it sad when you see little 7-year-old children being chemoed?
Yeah, and if you try to tell somebody these days who has cancer, they've got so much faith in their doctor that they won't listen to any alternative deals. You know, I know some folks right now that are suffering with cancer, and I've mentioned to them, I know folks that are suffering with diabetes, and I mentioned to them that, you know, I watched a documentary on like hemp seed oil or cinnamon or different alternative medicines or cures like, baking soda and so on and so forth. But you know that they will let that go in one ear and right out the other. They would rather have a faith in the doctor to take their vaccines and so on and so forth without ever even looking into what I told them about. Could have saved them a whole lot of hair or a lot of misery, you know?
Well, doctors are the biggest hypocrites in the world, she says. You know, the factual information's out there now that it's undeniable that the THC molecules and cannabinoids in the hemp plant and cannabis plant kill cancer. That's undeniable. That's proven around the world now. Yet doctors don't tell their patients yet that, do they? They don't. You don't go to a doctor's office and say, well, I've got cancer. Here's the two or three things that we can treat it with. We can give you this option. We can give you this option. We can give you this option. It's really, really sad in our society that they're still pushing chemo the way they do.
Well, that
is such a failure.
That's
but
why
it makes
I
so
said.
Much money for them. It makes so much money for them that they don't care if they kill you or not. Just take the money and run.
Yeah. That's why I said.
Trying to get in.
Bastards.
All options should be on the table.
Can someone add why not?
He's in. All he's got to do is press the join call.
Yeah.
Anyway, my stepfather.
Tell him not
cancer.
To drop no bombs.
My stepfather, he got cancer. And we talked. I even got Barry on the phone with my mom to try to convince him not to take that chemo. Well, he took the first treatment of chemo, and he's regretted it ever since, and he backed off from it. He said, "Oh no, hadn't done me any good at all." He said he's felt sick ever since he took the chemo.
Of course. I really wish people would do a little research before they freak out when they get the cancer diagnosis and they figure they're going to die and their doctor's going to save them. To do some research, man, because it's out there. And if you get chemo, then you're not looking at the research that's out there. Cancer is very, very easy to beat, guys, and I'm so convinced of that now, it's not even funny. I mean, just raising your output in your body kill cancer, and that's a fact. In 1938, I don't have the doctor's name in front of me, but there was a doctor that was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize simply for the discovery of alkaline being raised in your body killing cancer cells. And of course that was completely blocked out from the public. It was never even put into mainstream media in North America. It was completely kept away from the public because if the public realized this, then their industry would be down the tubes. Raise your alkaline levels in your body, guys, and cancer will die. It cannot live in an alkaline environment. That is an absolute hardcore fact. So how simple is it to beat cancer? You take a couple foods, raise your alkaline levels, and the cancer dies. And it's been proven over and over again. Yet you'll go to the doctor's office, he won't tell you that. He gets a $5,000 check from the medical profession for sending you for chemo. And it fails 97% of the time. Anybody on chemo drugs, 2.5% of people on chemo drugs will live more than 5 years. People just have to do their research. But they're so indoctrinated by their doctor, they still worship their doctor, they think the doctor is out for their best interest. And I say to you guys that that's so far from the truth, it's not even funny. These people are evil people because they know there's cures out there, and yet they still take out their little book and write you a prescription. You can go in next week and get another prescription. You can go in the week after that and get another prescription. And how many people died last year in the United States of America from drug interaction? I've got the figures in front of me here. 197,000 people died in the United States last year from drug interaction. Nothing else, just an interaction of two drugs in their body. 197,000 people died in the United States of America. Well, who's the criminals, guys?
Okay,
who are the criminals in our society?
197.
It's not the people out there that are telling you about alternatives. It's not people that are doing these, doing the research they're doing and telling you that it's so easy to beat, it's not even funny. It's the doctors who still have you in their pocket. And okay. That's got to change in our society. When that changes, we'll see change.
Wait a minute. 197,000 people died taking legal drugs, yet 42 people were killed by assault weapons. And we want gun control? Medical control.
Yeah. Well, Obama now trying,
I
see
have
Obama
to.
Trying to sign another executive order banning ammunition for AR-15s in the United States of America.
I have to put on the tinfoil hat.
Killer be killed.
I have to put on the tinfoil hat because, you know, I say, when I say stuff like, you know, how the fuel industry, the medical industry, you know, they got a conspiracy going on to where they want to make money, and so they don't put the cures out there, they don't put the best alternative energies out there because they want to make money. Now, people call you nuts for saying that, but all you got to do is look and listen. You can hear it. People go. I'm going to get cured for cancer, and I end up going bald-headed and getting sicker than a dog, and then dying anyway. That wasn't helping enough.
Then they'll say you die from the cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of all that, how about we get a little music break?
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
And wind this back up again.
Yeah, let's do that.
So let me see what I can find right there. Since Thomas said it, I'll just throw some of his music on there for a second. All right, everybody, listen to Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned. We're going to go to a music break, and then we'll be back.
Hey, Dr. Steele, look at my new trumpet.
That is a fine trumpet, soldier. Wow, strong, healthy lungs. Soldier. Bah. Soldier. Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that. Quiet all day and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children.
Gather around and hear the sound of my voice. There's girls and boys, well, you may have a choice. And you can think for yourself, or you can buy all my toys. Just come on, little help, jump around, make some noise. I never lie to you, you know I die for you. Yeah, I love you too, because we will do consume and gobble it up. Come on, show me some love, I'll be blowing you up.
Held there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers had just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just put some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. a copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, a land of unregretty.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name, or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is slow for the worst.
Just do some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
everybody, we're back. You're listening to the Knights of the Roundtable, and I was just saying on break, it's not easy being a good-looking super genius. It comes with a lot of responsibility. You can't just sling that stuff around because you could hurt someone. You got to use it in moderations. So if there's ever any question you have, come to me. Feel free to come to me, and I'd be willing to share some of that vast knowledge that I've acquired throughout the generations of my lifetime. What do you think? Is that deep enough?
Yeah. Work for me.
Hip waiters? Alrighty then. Did we lose Thomas? No, he's still there. He's just in shock of what I just said.
No, I got the doll look.
He's like, huh? What?
Yeah, I got the same look to all that I got whenever I said I was going to start a stunt double company that only hires amputees.
Oh.
Stubs for stunts.
Man, that's dangerous.
But you know, I'd probably get sued by somebody who's not got any amputations for discrimination.
Well.
Oh, really?
Here at Shaziz Radio, we don't discriminate.
Well, you know, if you're supposed to look like you got an amputation on show, like let's say you're a character in a show, and your actor that plays the guy is whole bodied, and then he gets into a fight and loses a limb. It'd be easier if you had somebody look very similar to him that's already missing that limb, so you could go ahead and let them have a job playing his stunt double.
Well, that's why they got CGI these days. In famous...
That's killing jobs, man. Eventually they're going to CGI the whole actor, and then there'll be nobody getting paid for making movies except for the large corporations that own all the computers that run the CGI software.
Yeah, I see that coming anyway. But anyway, you know, my uncle said he wasn't prejudiced. He hates everyone.
you mean he's not racist or bigoted?
It works either way.
He hates everybody equally.
Yeah. So
if you hate everybody, including people you don't know, that makes you prejudiced. That just means he's prejudging them based on the fact that they're a human.
Oh, well, maybe that's what he's trying to say. I don't know.
Because they're this religion or that religion or this race or that race. You're part of the human race. You're part of the human problem.
Right.
Well, either way, people got on his nerves. So he said, I hate prejudice, I hate everyone. Alright, well, I love everyone, so I just gotta leave it at that. Anyway, so, you guys... Huh?
I'm trying to give me an aneurysm here.
Oh, okay.
Said, including Kishi.
Yeah, he's got his flaws, and he's still people, but maybe as misguided as he is, and crooked, and bent, warped. I don't know. All I know is there's people out there doing research, and I don't want to see anybody get harmed by somebody trying to perpetrate a fraud on the planet. And there's a lot of people that have a lot of hopes for a lot of people. And, if you got good intentions and you're out there trying to do something decent for somebody and you're trying to be fair to the world and doing an honest job about it, then that's one thing. But if you're out there skewing it or whatever, or trying to sell snake oil to somebody, those folks out there that really need fresh water in their neighborhood, we should we have the technology to help them out. We should be done doing it. We should have already done it. And people being homeless, there ain't no reason for people to be homeless here in the year 2015. There is just no excuse for it, unless it's somebody's absolute choice that they don't want to own a home, they don't want to live in a home, they just want to wander around the land, then so be it. That's what freedom's all about. But because of circumstance that somebody can't afford to live in a decent house and have dignity, that all humans are deserving of, that, as far as I'm, our Creator give us that we're all equal kind of thing. There shouldn't be no reason for none of this that's going on out there. These wars over resources, in my mind, is ridiculous. These people suffering around the world, it's ridiculous. Hiding potential cures or alternative medicines is ridiculous. and preaching bogus science to back up your climate change scam in order to take money out of people's pocket. What are they going to do? Pay Mother Nature to fix the planet? You know, nature is resilient, and nature will bounce back. Nature will kick us off like a bad set of fleas if we keep going down the road we're going. You know, if you pollute your fishbowl, then you got to expect that the water ain't going to taste very good. So, with that said, you know, you might want to clean up your own neighborhood. You might want to keep it clean to begin with. You might want to work in harmony with nature as opposed to against nature. But for somebody out there to claim that that's what they care about while at the same time dropping bombs on one side of the planet or polluting the rivers down the other side of the planet, EPA dumping crud down the river and turning the river muddy orange and then telling the local natives that, don't worry, just wait for the crud to float by and then you can drink the water again. Dumping radioactive material into the ocean and telling everybody how dangerous radiation is but not doing nothing about it, then to me that sounds ludicrous. I mean, it's almost as if we've got some folks on this planet that just want to flat out destroy it, period. I mean, that's their ultimate goal. But at the same time, you've got to say, look, I'm here to save the planet while you're killing the planet. If you're going to talk about global warming and climate change and then get in a corporate jet and fly across the planet and then get in a corporate limousine and drive up to that, you should have took a rowboat over there. And then you should have got into a 65-passenger rickshaw with Muddy pulling it to go to the meeting.
Muddy,
man. Yeah. Muddy, you think you could pull a 65-passenger rickshaw?
Sure I can.
Yeah, just eat some of your Wheaties, man. You could do it. I got faith in you. You can do it!
Right gearing. As soon as we got the right gearing, I can pull it.
Yeah. So, there you go. See, there's some science going on there. He's already thought ahead. He said, if I'm going to have to pull this thing, I'm going to gear it up so that it ain't so hard to pull. And use some leverage to boot. I think Raymond could help you design that. Man. So, what do you think?
We want to go fast enough for them.
We go down.
We go faster.
To wind my mainspring.
That's what the whip is for, man. They got the bull whip up there. You know, like you see those people that drive the wagon trains? Bosh!
Gotta have the drum and the whip.
Yeah, even Santa Claus had a whip in his deal, didn't he? When Santa Claus cracking the whip on the reindeer? Hey, how come nobody ever complained about that? In the cartoon, when Santa Claus cracks the whip and the reindeer take off? Has anybody besides me ever seen that?
I've seen it.
Ain't that animal abuse?
Well, actually, he doesn't actually hit. He just snaps it and makes noise that scares him, which brings us back to Buddy pulling the rickshaw. I don't think a whip would work, because he don't crazy. But a hat pin? Whoa! I'm putting it in overdrive!
Well, the whip is the gas, and the hat pin is the nitrous.
There you go.
You gotta stick him with the hat pin at the same time you're cracking the whip. That way, next time you crack the whip, he thinks he's gonna get stuck.
Ironically enough, the government cracks the whip and the people jump.
Right.
So. You're
asking how high.
Yeah, life imitates art, folks. You can always trust your government. Ask Congressman Bongwater, he'll tell you. I'm just saying. But.
I did receive a Christmas card from my daddy years ago, and it had a picture of Santa Claus and all the reindeer and the sleigh trying to balance on top of an outhouse. And it said, I said the Schmidt house, not the...
Man.
They had them little bubbles popping around them, you know, like they were plowed.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you never know what you're going to hear on the Knights of the Round Table or the Mad Science Show. That's
for sure.
As long as
she doesn't start singing the shaving cream song.
No.
I don't know the shaving cream song. You have to tell me off air.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, we got choices. There's a lot of examples of a lot of different choices that we've got to make out there. And as individuals, we got to be knowledgeable in the law. We've got to be knowledgeable in our health and in alternative energy. If there's things that we can do to make this world a better place, it requires knowledge. We're going to have to study, you know. Like Justin tried to tell me earlier, put your nose in a book or something like that, you know. Learn something. Did we lose Justin too?
He left a while ago.
Oh.
Just in time.
Why Not was here, but I don't think he was in the chat. I don't know what happened.
Well, looks like Muddy typed a message in there. Doo-doo-doo. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
In a God of DeVita. They dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh, yeah. I remember that song.
Not too much of that now. You end up with the copyright lawyers on our butt.
Yeah, copyright Nazis.
You can't do more than two bars.
With more than two people listening at the time.
Well, that's another doggone thing out there, too, man. The whole copyright issue. Man, if you find a music clip or a little sound clip from way back when, like the old Benny Hill, man. I used to use Benny Hill because it was funny. You know, it had that funny deal you get once you want to express something funny. But some turkey going out there buying up old patents and copyrights or whatever just so that they can go around and milk off everybody's YouTube channel.
Yep.
Ain't that bad? So you don't even just have the corruption at the top. You got corruption at the bottom. You got knuckleheads over in China trying to gank everybody's Skype so they can get some iTunes cards or whatever else that they can hawk on the market.
Over 7 years, you're supposed to be able to use it anyway.
Yeah, like the Star Spangled Banner, that's supposed to be the people's song. I got popped for that one once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it might have been that version of who played it.
Well, regardless, it's still supposed to be the people's song.
You play it by your, play it on your piano or on your guitar. Try to imitate Jimi Hendrix, and they can't do a thing about it.
I don't know. I wasn't too awful impressed with Jimi Hendrix's lyrics. He was a good guitarist, but his lyrics, I didn't really like them. They kind of made me nauseated.
Well, he didn't do lyrics on that guitar part of the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, yeah, but he also butchered the Star Spangled Banner with the guitar. Wee, 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 wee.
He couldn't have butchered anything worse than Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah.
What, tell me about that.
Yeah, she did. There's a bunch of people that went out there and butchered it, trying to be opera singers and sing the Star Spangled Banner. But they, you know, sometimes people just need to keep their day jobs. It may sound a little bit harsh, but it's better to have job security than go out there and sing like that in front of a stadium of people.
I'll tell you what, I learned how to play the Star Spangled Banner classical style, and then I turned the preamp up on the amplifier.
And tried to be
put
Sid
it
Vicious.
A lot of fuzz and stuff. When I got up to certain notes, I just bend the neck a little bit, and it sounded almost like Jimi Hendrix.
Cool. I dropped my guitar down the doggone stairs one time. It sounded like Jimi Hendrix. Pew, cling, 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 pew, wow, wow. I'm just saying. And Jimi Hendrix ghost is going to haunt me now.
My first guitar.
Anyway, Muddy's got a good tune. So, anybody else got anything to throw on the table? I mean, we're getting down to the last 20-some-odd minutes of the show there, man.
Don't everybody...
You're tired of running out of time, aren't you?
Yeah. Dang, Muddy's working on a pallet house.
Well, I did a pallet house, nine pallets, you know, basically down as a floor, and some old plywood that came off the 3/4-inch plywood that came off the job when they replaced the roof over the bank teller line there, mobile line there, where you drive in. Yeah, anyway, they replaced the roof on that. I got all the plywood with the tar on it and everything, made a nice floor. Then I had 6 pallets on each wall, and it winds up being 10-foot by 12-foot. And the rest of it, I basically bought some 14-foot 2x4s, made the roof rafters and all that stuff, all one single slant, and I covered the whole doggone thing with some 5 mil plastic, two layers. And even with all the wind and the rain and everything that's happening so far, all the plastic's still intact and stapled onto the wall except for one piece.
And your wood's just still drying?
Tied back down. And so far it's okay. But today, later on today, we're supposed to get that blizzard come through. We'll see how it works on that. I'm going to make some video on it.
Cool. Alright, so repurposing, that's a really good subject. Has anybody else got any good ideas for a whole lot of repurposing? We're scraping the bottom of the barrel here, guys.
Yeah, the insulation that I'm going to stuff inside the pallets, which is really cool. It's just basically down at the newspaper stand, they wrap them pallets with that saran wrap. Then they just cut it down one side. There's like 8 layers as they go around it with that saran wrap stuff. I'm just going to take it and I'm going to stuff it in between all the holes in the pallet.
You got any extra room left over? Stuff Walmart bags in there.
How about
anything that holds air and bubbles?
Hey, buddy, how about heating your pallet house with junk mail? Because we could get you all the junk mail you could handle.
Oh, I've already got the pipe heater set up there, kind of like a rocket stove. I need to do one more weld down where I can sit there and put it through the floor. And run a pipe from to outside, so it takes the cold air from outside to fuel the fire rather than the warm air inside.
What's that got to do with junk mail?
Once you put a vacuum inside, the hut, what it does is suck in cold air from any crack or any other place it gets it. And that's not the way to heat. So we'll do that, and it's going to be a self-feed rocket stove, basically, single pipe. The pipe actually came from a chrome exhaust. Pretty. Real nice.
Can you burn?
We tried it outside with a few sticks. Oh man, it was hug of stovepipe day the other night when it was chilly.
Shazid, I think he just answered your question about the junk mail.
Oh, okay. I must have missed it.
Use it in his rocket stove.
Oh, cool. Yeah, there you go.
Actually did that newspaper and some old plywood that was peeling up and all that stuff. I just took the layers. Man, that stuff burned great.
Cool.
So, yeah, junk mail will be going there.
So anyway, instead of throwing it off in the doggone dump and filling up the landfills and all that kind of stuff, use it for repurposing. He's turned old skids and junk mail into a usable item.
And I don't see where carbon hurts anything. As a matter of fact, as much as our plant life and everything is dying because all of the chemicals are spraying, they could use a little bit of extra carbon to make them grow. Any place that burns coal and stuff like that and they're worried about the carbon content, anywhere downwind of that place, the plant life thrives.
Yeah, so they like really
concerned. Don't believe that garbage about carbon pollution or whatever.
If they were really seriously concerned about the doggone environment, do you think the government would be allowing NASA, who is part of the government, to dump lithium in the doggone air?
Or beryllium or mercury.
Yeah.
They're worried about global warming. They wouldn't be putting any of that crap up in our air.
Well,
if they were worried about you, they wouldn't put anything up in the air.
If they were worried about it, then we would already have the technologies available to us, such as decent, affordable electric cars. See, the auto industries, I got to give them credit. They actually tried. And a lot of people don't know that they actually tried, but they did. And even individuals actually tried. The ones that didn't, the ones they couldn't force out financially, they forced them out with fire. They burnt the doggone shop down.
Sterling, GM actually made a Sterling engine car.
Yeah, there's some video out there on that. And that was way back when, man. Because
the only reason why it didn't hit the market strong is because people didn't want something they had to sit there and wait for it to warm up.
Right.
Well, as far as the electric car, there ain't no excuse for that because they had some really impressive ones, man. I think Nissan's got the Leaf, and the Tesla company, they got the Tesla car, which is a cool-looking, sporty car, man. The only thing is that the batteries are expensive as all get-out, but with Robert Murray Smith working on technology like that, and other guys out there working on new battery technology and capacitors and such, and that's only a matter of time before you get that cleared up to where that price comes down again. But even GM had some cars. GM had the first decent electric car, first, you know, manufactured on a mass scale car. I can't remember what that was called. A doggone, it's something about one in it. Anyway, there was like 1,000 or so of these doggone cars, and they end up coming around and getting them and smashing them all. Is that ridiculous or what?
Yes. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Absolutely. 100% ridiculous. It's stupid.
Yeah, and then they turn around and holler about, well, we're going to have oil, and we're running out of oil, and we got to do this and that, and whatever, you know. There's oil tankers sitting offshore waiting to get in because there ain't no place to put it.
Yeah, it was the EV1 that was running them out, and pretty much a thing out there in California where they even got solar panels where you park your car and just plug in the paddle.
Yeah.
And charge up the cars, but when it came time to go for the new ones, they exchanged them, and they wanted the old ones just so they could tear them apart.
So the fuel industry,
not a commission.
The fuel industry did some dirty deeds to push
that
those car dealers down.
You couldn't buy them.
Yeah.
After a while, there were a few rich people who said, "I want my car back," and the rich people went, of course, you know.
Well, I would love to have one of those Tesla cars, and as far as the batteries, you can keep the batteries. I put my own charging system in there.
Well, in my world, I think the greatest thing that we could do right now is spend some money on developing the hydrogen cell.
Yep, because there's another one.
If any of the money that was spent on military or pharmaceutical was spent on developing the hydrogen cell, all our problems would be over. Period. It works. So what else do we need? Do we need electric? If we can make an energy out of the hydrogen cell and run our vehicles, it's proven.
Google up.
No brainer, right?
Google up U.S. Navy and hydrogen technology, and you'll find out that they said by 2016, I think it was,
their ships are going to be run on hydrogen.
Yeah, so they're floating on their fuel.
So come on, guys. I mean, people just got to wake up to it. I mean, most people, they don't even know this. A lot of people don't know that you can run your vehicle on water, and it's proven. If people knew that, you don't think everybody would be going, hey, wait a second, hold on, what's going on? And we're worried about killing the planet, we're worried about the effects of oil on our planet. It could all be put to rest.
Yep. You want to see
in a couple years if people woke up to it, period.
If you want to see how powerful hydrogen is, go watch my video called Hydrogen Danger, and listen to those little explosions in balloons. We filled hydrogen and balloons up with hydrogen and lit those things, and man, you wouldn't believe the power those things have.
I think Shazia said it earlier in the same program. Knowledge is power.
Yeah, people need to exercise that power by exercising their brain.
No joke.
You know, that's like that cholesterol, the cholesterol medicine that they've given everybody. Do you know what your brain is made out of?
Cholesterol.
Ah, yeah, we're going to decrease your cholesterol, man. Hey, why am I suddenly so stupid?
Really? I love it.
Oh, boy. I say eat healthy, learn how to eat good greens and stuff like that, good food, natural food, without all the chemistry in it. And you can find it. If you can't find it, grow it yourself, you know. And, you know, eat good, get some exercise, use some common sense, and before you put it in your mouth, read the label and see what it says. If it says red dye number 7 or whatever, monosodium glutamate, some of the words you can't even hardly pronounce, unless you're a college-educated dude who's probably munching on some nachos right now.
right.
Monosodium glutamate, oh my goodness, that'll take the oxygen out of your blood.
Yeah.
It's a sealer.
So
it's a sealer for the meat. It does the same thing in your blood. It seals blood, just like it does in the meat.
If you want to build yourself a home-based chemistry lab, then just go to the grocery store, man. You can find everything you need at the grocery store. Ain't no joke. Try mixing something with something and see what you get. What do you say? Think some of the drain cleaner says, don't use our product with that guy over there's product. Yeah.
The government's deal about oil, it's always been about oil. Even before we found oil in the ground, it was hunting whales to light your living room. And basically, the story Moby Dick was written after a story that was written after one man's testimony about going out to hunt whale and stuff like that. And after a bunch of bad luck, they went out to the other side of Africa and found a whole bunch of them. There was a big great white that actually attacked the ship and the boats and capsized them and all that stuff. They wound up barely getting to close to an island, and the whale tracked them. And when they got close to the island, he capsized. Everybody had to swim to shore because the whale finished them off. And then after on the island a while, they basically made ships and they went back out, and the whale tracked them again. And when it came close to getting back to where they need to be, the whale decided he was going to sit there and make a show again. And he came up right beside the boat and looked at him and said, are you done yet? You know, he had the spear ready and everything. Well, but when they finally got back, they had to have an inquiry as to what happened. And these guys that were talking with oil, making gold, you know, out of it, was basically trying to get them to say that the whale did not capsize the ship, did not attack it, and all that stuff. And when the final, when the real inquiry came up, the captain actually told the truth. They wanted them to say that they ran the ship aground. The captain told the truth. But it was all about the oil and trying to get the lie out there. That's pretty much what we see today. Then they found oil in the land. They said, wow, really? From the ground?
Well, so yeah.
All start all over again.
See, they allowed BP to dump Corexit down in the doggone water to cover up an oil spill, you know, and it's supposed to be a dispersant that causes oil to disperse. Well, you know, I'm kind of thinking that since whales got oil in them, then fish probably have oil in them, and plant life, and so on and so forth. And so you're dispersing them as well as you're dispersing the doggone oil. How many thousands of gallons of that crud did they dump in the ocean?
Yep, look what happened to the starfish. Whether it be Fukushima or the deal to get rid of the oils.
Well,
or the other, or both.
The point of this whole thing is it's got to come a time when the average Joe just finally realizes that the government doesn't always have your best interest at heart. And if they're doing a crummy job, then you need to get some people in there that's going to do the job. So I think it's about time for a house cleaning. I think it's about time for all these career politicians to go get a job at McDonald's or something like that. You know? Instead of...
Well, unfortunately, we live in a world where a lot of people aren't going to wake up to it, Shaziz, until it directly impacts their lives. And until that happens, they're so comfortable in their world, they figure everything's still all right, and everything's just going to be fine in the future. Until it really starts impacting their lives, people aren't going to demand change.
Right.
Since they're so involved in the nature. And go to the grocery stores, guys, and look at the prices of food. It's absolutely astounding me, the jumps in food. I went into my grocery store the other day. 2 years ago, I could buy a head of cauliflower for $2.25. I went into the store the other day, had a cauliflower $7.25.
Holy smokes!
Broccoli $3.98 a pound. A head of lettuce, $4 for a head of lettuce, where 2 years ago I could buy that same piece of lettuce for a dollar. If this doesn't tell people that something is really accelerating in our society and it's time to address it, then we're going to see hyperinflation this year.
Well, in my neighborhood,
$5 tomato.
In my neighborhood, a gallon of milk costs $5.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we used to be able to go buy it pretty cheap. And bread? See, this is the thing, man.
We need to figure out how to use fracking to get that milk, man. That'll bring the price down.
Yeah.
You're going to frack. You're going to frack the cow? That's harsh. Anyway,
hey,
look.
What about it, Terry? You went down to go see the coastline and enjoy it for a bit, and you went to pick up a starfish. What happened to that starfish?
What starfish?
The starfish. The
they're melting. Their arms are falling off. They're there's squirmies on all the starfish. The starfish on the coast here are just about, you can't even find them anymore.
That's disgusting, so, man.
I mean, people say, oh, well, it's just a starfish. It's, I mean, if you don't see the direct correlation with the whole food chain, then you've got your eyes closed. The reports are coming out every day of what's going on in our ocean. People go, ah, there's a hockey game on. Hey, who's winning? Hey, the World Series is on, man. Yeah, go, Kansas City.
Yeah. 90% of the people don't live on the coast, so they don't know.
Right.
But it will start impacting us all majorly, guys. I'm astounded at what I'm seeing in the rise of food prices. And every time I go to the grocery store now, they're going up. Not in increments, but it jumps and leaps and bounds.
But Barry, the thing is about the price of food in the grocery store, the one thing you didn't mention is the man that grows it, the farmer, his price doesn't go up at all. I mean, right now, today, a bushel of wheat is barely 50 cents more than it was in 1966 when we had hailstorms throughout the Midwest. And the bread industry says, oh my God, oh Lord have mercy, oh, we've had all these hailstorms that have destroyed all this wheat. At that time, it was 27 cents a loaf for bread. Oh, bread's going to have to go to $1 a loaf. Hey, the Secretary of Agriculture of the United States got on national television and informed the American people, the amount of wheat, according to the prices of wheat at that time, the wheat in a loaf of bread was less than 1 cent. It was actually 0.8 cents. A bushel of wheat was $4. So how many loaves of bread can you make out of a bushel? I mean, it's ridiculous. The food in the stores keeps going up and up and up, but yet the man that grows the food, his prices has never gone up.
Yeah, and his house is mortgaged to the hill.
You're taxed to fire.
That's why they got to stop growing wheat and start growing hemp.
There you go.
Then they'd all be rich.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, somebody's still got to grow some wheat. We can't have everybody growing hemp.
Okay.
You know what I see, though?
You got to have a balance.
What I see.
How about this balance? How about we put gluten inside of like a tube? We'll put a green cap on it, a white tube, and we'll call it crazy gluten. We'll sell it to people.
Yeah.
That's an idea. Do anybody want to get rich? All they have to do is buy a big cafe and let the government get about to grow this or that.
Well, Muddy was trying to say
Coca-Cola
something. Muddy was.
See the Coca-Cola jumping on the bandwagon now, eh? They've got their new product out, sweetened with cane sugar and sativa seed. That's
great.
Coca-Cola's new life brand. They're trying to catch into these the shift in society's thinking. And of course, this is their new product, man.
Man.
Well, maybe that's a step in the right direction. Maybe they'll get the aspartame out of there. Maybe people are becoming...
Well, let's see, has the patent ran out on aspartame yet?
I don't know.
I'm guessing the lifespan of that's getting ready to come to an end, so now they're going to be willing to say that it's bad and try to push it aside.
Yeah.
If they can't get people to basically let it alone so that they're not buying any generics of it, and they'll come over and buy the new patented stuff, because of the, you know, the bad press for it being bad for you, then they're basically going to find a drug it can be turned into that's illegal so they can go ahead and regulate it. Now no one can buy it without a DEA number.
Yeah, just rename
exactly
it, repatent
what
it.
Doing,
so anyway, guys, we're down to it. So we got to go around the table real quick and let everybody have their say. Who wants to go first? Muddy tried to talk earlier and he didn't get it in. What did you have to say there, Muddy?
Yeah, what I see, thank you very much. What I see is a government that, it's kind of like an oxymoron. The government comes in and say, hey, we're the government, we're here to help. Pretty much it's the government tearing everything down, trying to get down to that 500 million. Then, you know, Agenda 21 and all. But here's what I see. I see the idea that they think they can get away with anything as long as they make an excuse, no matter how ridiculous it is.
Right.
If they make an excuse, that gives them the right to go ahead and geoengineer and mess our food up and all this other kind of stuff, as long as they got an excuse. And that excuse is usually the same thing as swamp gas and, you know, weather balloons and such.
Gas leaks. It was a gas leak explosion.
It's diversion. We're justified because this lie works.
Right. Well, you missed the other thing. They justify jailing anybody who talks out against them too.
Yeah.
Right.
And don't forget about collateral damage.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We didn't mean to blast them people, but we needed to get the bad guy.
There you go.
Oh, what a mess. What about you, Barry?
Well, I see a world right now, guys, that's kind of in complete turmoil. Everywhere I look on this planet right now, there's something going on that's negative, so I think it's really important this time that we keep our eyes and our attention focused on things that need our attention and not things that are trying to distract us and look at it. We're really in a bad way right now in this world, guys, and I'm not a fear-mongering type of guy, but I'm very realistic about what I see. And we are virtually on a pinnacle right now. We've said that many, many times, that our economies are on a pinnacle. Our economies could absolutely collapse worldwide, and most people don't know this, but it's a fact that our economies could collapse worldwide within 48 hours, where we go from a complete civilized state of society, what we call civilized state of society, to turmoil. We really have to pay attention to what's going on in the economies right now, guys, because we see what's going on in the stock market. We see the hyperinflation. We see everything that's going on right now, and it's all telling us that we are on a pinnacle. And just prepare for it, guys. When they pull the button on us and they bring this kind of crap down on society, we must be prepared to stand against it.
Learn how to do stuff yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. That way, whenever it happens, you don't
get to know your neighbors
right
now, guys. Get to know your neighbors. I urge everybody out there to get to know your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors. Every Christmas dinner I had this year, we sat around the table, and people were actually talking about things that really are relevant in our world. People are waking up to it, but we have to do it quickly. Because I don't think, honestly, what I see coming, guys, I'm not a fear-mongering type of guy, but I go down the rabbit holes every day. I never believe everything I read. I never believe everything I see. But if you take a prognosis of what's going on right now on our planet, we are on a very, very, very dangerous time.
Yep.
I hope that we can be here next year at this time, having this conversation like we are right now. I don't know if we will or not. We look at what's going on the internet in China, man. How the American government's going to bring in censorship on the internet? This might not be available to it a year from now, guys. So I just say, hey, say your prayers every day. Whatever you believe in is good in your life. Talk to that entity. If it's whatever is good in your life, talk to it. Make sure that you're prepared for the crap that's going to come, because I honestly believe the crap is just around the corner, guys.
Yep.
I really do.
Well, it's better to be prepared for a hurricane's coming and not need the preparedness, because it never came, than it is to, you know, not be prepared and then, you know, not expect it, and suddenly there it is, you know.
Exactly.
So what about you, Thomas? You got anything last?
I say same thing I've been saying is, you know, like Barry said, network. Get to know everybody that's around you and pick up a trade, pick up a skill, pick up anything, man. Learn to do something new today, you know.
Yep.
Every day should be learn something new. Learn how to do something new. Don't just learn a new word. Learn how to actually, you know, make a button, or, you know, how to make a widget, or how to do this, or how to refine alcohol out of crude whatever. I mean, find something to do that's basically useful. It doesn't matter what it is. Just find something. Everybody's good at something. Find those things that you're good at. Apply them to, you know, learning some new skills, and network with the people around you so you can have a network of people who are basically skilled at doing something, so that if you can't do it, you can turn to them, and they can turn to you whenever they need what you can do, you know?
Yep, try it before you
money,
deny
money
it.
Money becomes completely irrelevant at that point whenever you've got a good network like that. So if there is an economic collapse like he's talking about, it won't faze you.
You know, Thomas, Barry, buddy, you guys have come up with some really profound stuff today. You really have. And it all boils down to what Shaziz said, and I said it several times. Shaziz summed up everything y'all said, but the thing is, it's there. Knowledge is power. And Thomas, you were right. People need to get off the dead duck and do something. I mean, learn trade, learn a skill, learn something. Barry said, learn. He studies. I mean, money. I mean, he's always trying new stuff. I mean, you guys are amazing. You're absolutely amazing. Knowledge is power.
Cool. With that said, y'all been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Take some advice from these honorable knights out here, and get out there and learn something. Try it before you deny it, you know. And if you hear it out there, don't believe it until you verify it. That kind of stuff. There's a lot of things going on in the world. A lot of people in need. A lot of people need help. And some people just need a smile.
Build you a self-sustaining micropolis before the macropolis you're a part of becomes a metropolis.
Yeah, so whenever you prepare in advance and already ready, you get your own barter systems in place and all that, when it falls, that system falls down, you won't suffer so badly. So with that said...
If the one-eyed man is king in the kingdom of the blind, then imagine how much more power the two-eyed man is going to be if he's prepared to keep both eyes.
Yeah. Thomas Jefferson said, "The price to freedom is eternal vigilance." That means you got to keep on your toes because there are entities out there that don't have your best interest at heart. And if you think they're out there to represent you, you better keep an eye on them and make sure that's exactly what they're doing. So, with that said, everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Roundtable. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
Camelot, Camelot, Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to border scenes, to bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. We're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. compensated violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?